From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. Many of you probably watched the State of the Union speech last week and saw the moment when President Trump introduced Ji Sung-ho, a North Korean defector who raised his crutches high as he received bipartisan applause. One of the groups that worked with Mr. Ji to help him come to the United States and participate in that event was HRNK, the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. Here at KEI, we work really closely with HRNK, and we really admire a lot of the work that they're doing on human rights and getting information about human rights and things that are going on in North Korea. So with this in mind, I wanted to talk to someone at HRNK, and so I sat down with Rosa Park, who is the Director of Programs and Editor at HRNK, to talk a little bit about the work that they've been doing recently, but also about President Trump's focus on North Korean human rights, both in the State of the Union and after that. So please enjoy our conversation. So Rosa, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know you've been really busy lately with some exciting things. So thank you for speaking to me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I want to start off by giving you the chance to talk about this exciting news that you've had recently, the project you've been working on. What was HRNK's involvement in the recent visit of defectors to not only to DC, but also participation in meetings with President Trump?
First of all, the State of the Union address and the spotlight that was put on Mr. Ji Sung-ho at the State of the Union, full credit goes to the President and the First Lady. They were the ones who extended the invitation and arranged for him to come to D.C. The second meeting between a group of defectors or escapees and President Trump, HRNK was involved with handling logistics, but once again, full credit goes to the President and the First Lady. This was a result of many conversations held between HRNK and the administration, but the credit does go to the President and the First Lady. We were very busy last week. arranging logistics for a group of people, mostly based in South Korea, is never easy, especially with the time constraints that we had. We just had to work really quickly, and we got everything together, and everyone got here safely and soundly, and we were very happy that we were able to get everyone together in time.
I think it's been really interesting to see that the administration really does seem to be putting an emphasis on the human rights situation when it comes to their North Korea policy. We saw this when President Trump was in Seoul last year. He made a major speech to the National Assembly and spent a big chunk of it talking about, you know, laying out very specific human rights concerns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, crimes that the regime has committed against its own people and against Americans, against Japanese. So how do you see, as someone who works in this space of human rights, how do you see that policy from the administration, or what do you make of this focus on human rights?
First of all, it's historic for this issue to be brought into the State of the Union address in such a big way. If you remember, it was towards the end of his speech that he focused the spotlight on Ji Sung-ho. I think the timing was very important, and I also think that it's consistent with his policies so far. It's tremendous. It's historic. No other president has focused so much on the North Korean human rights issue. And I think it's very important that he has put such a spotlight on it, because now the entire country and the world knows that it is a policy priority.
I definitely think that it I mean, as you're saying, not only was it at the end of the speech, but it was also like, I mean, such a visual moment. At least half, if not more, of the pictures of the news coverage were of Ji Sung-ho raising his crutches. It was just such a moment that hits you viscerally, right? So, I mean, the power of that and seeing someone's face that has gone through this, I think that was really powerful as well.
I definitely agree. I think it was iconic for him to raise his crutches over his head, and the fact that he used those crutches to cross the Tumen River, like to go into China, to go to South Korea to find freedom, that's phenomenal. And to bring those same crutches to the United States at the State of the Union, it was really tremendous.
So do you see this going forward as, you know, are there any concrete things that you think will come out of this? What are your predictions, I guess? I'm thinking, for example, we're mentioning the fact that Ji Sung-ho and many other escapees, defectors, have to go through China and have to hide and, you know, may be returned by China. Do you think that's something that President Trump will specifically bring up, or any other policies that you think will follow on this focus?
So speaking with this group of escapees after the meeting with President Trump, something that they all said was that President Trump was really listening to what they were saying. How this will play out in policy decisions, I can't say. I mean, HRNK is a nonprofit NGO. We just helped to facilitate logistics. We don't make policy per se. But I know for a fact that the defectors and the escapees in the meeting with President Trump brought up the issue of repatriation, which is so important. I think it's really important to pressure China to stop repatriating North Koreans in their country because they face imprisonment, they go to political prison camps, women face infanticide and forced abortions. It's tragic, and I think it's really important that the message came directly from North Korean women who have seen this firsthand happening in China and in North Korea. I hope it had a tremendous effect on his views on the issue, and I also hope that this will lead to policy decisions that will pressure China to stop repatriating North Korean women.
So I want to broaden the conversation a little bit because obviously having someone, a North Korean escapee at the State of the Union is one of the most visible ways to shed light on this issue. But it's part of what I see as a little bit of a growing trend over the last even 5-10 years where a lot of defectors are writing memoirs that are getting a lot of attention, TED Talks. We had the UN Commission of Inquiry report that got a lot of attention. So I'm curious if you agree or not, but I see a little bit of a growing trend of visibility, at least in the American eye, of this issue and the issue of human rights through seeing people who have actually gone through these things. So how do you see this? Do you think that there is enough visibility? What can we do to bring more visibility? Or how are Americans reacting to being able to see North Koreans firsthand and tell their stories?
I really agree with you because I started at HRNK in 2011. It was nothing like it is now. the movement, the issue has grown exponentially. And we can gauge that just from social media, I think. I mean, social media doesn't encapsulate the whole movement, but it shows a sliver of it, right? Our followership has quadrupled. Yeah, at least quadrupled. so there's this consistent interest in this issue because of the personal stories. When anybody meets a North Korean defector, they're moved. And why is that? Because they're genuine. They speak about horrific experiences that they have experienced firsthand. I think that it has a tremendous effect on how the American people think about it. And then you were speaking about the memoirs, the TED Talks. I think this is just the beginning. I mean, I've seen the movement since 2011, but especially with the State of the Union speech now, we can't say that we didn't know. That is no longer possible. There is more than enough evidence of what is happening, and the UN Commission of Inquiry is one of the best collections of that evidence. So the world, the international community, cannot claim that we did not know. We know. It's too late for that now. So moving forward, we have to think carefully about what we plan to do about it. And that's where our leaders come in. What are we as the American people going to do to address this issue? Because the information is out there. There is more than enough information. And I think that is a big change from where we were 10, 20 years ago.
So one thing that I've always found really fascinating, I mean, my background is in journalism communications. Obviously, I'm really focused on how we're talking about these things, the words mm-hmm. we're using. Mm-hmm. So I've noticed, I mean, even throughout our interview, there's the word defector, there's the word escapee, mm-hmm. there's different words that are being used to describe or the word that we use to talk about people from North Korea who have left. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many different uses or definitions. So I'm curious, from HRNK's standpoint or from your standpoint, what words do you guys use and why?
So back in 2012, we had a meeting, we had a big conference at the Peterson Institute, and there was this exact discussion. What terminology should we use? Because defector comes with some negative connotations. Should we use refugee? Should we use, there was a very big discussion about what terminology to use. And I think it's a vibrant debate right now. People argue for using the terminology of defector because not everyone, but some escapees want to stand up to the regime. They want to have those negative connotations that are involved with the word defector. They want that because they are standing up against the regime. That is why they escaped. For others, especially in China, they are refugees. So I've heard refugees used quite often. But technically speaking, once they arrive in South Korea or the United States or whatever their final destination, they're no longer refugees at that point. So I think refugees is a very technical term. So we have to be careful about how we use that. We at HRNK have been using escapee recently to describe the people, the 30,000, more than 30,000 resettled in South Korea and the more than 210 settled in the United States as like a broader term for these people because they have escaped from North Korea. So at HRNK recently, we've been using escapee. I mean, I don't think there's a technically right or wrong answer. I think it's a vibrant debate that's healthy, we should continue talking about it. But there's a reasoning for using one term over the other. But at HRNK, we've been using escapee.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, that the term refugee, I think some people or some debates that I've seen, particularly for people in China, it's a very deliberate use of the word refugee because China refuses to recognize them as such. And
even though they have all these UN treaties that they've already approved of and signed. And
yeah, right, exactly. But, you know, China's insisting they're economic migrants and we can send them back. But if you insist they're refugees, that's...
They use the term illegal economic migrant, which is really... That's another interesting discussion.
One other thing that came up not only in the State of the Union, but is a major topic recently when it comes to North Korea and human rights, is the getting information into North Korea. I know Mr. G, that's part of what he does. Mm-hmm. Trying to help people who are still in North Korea understand more about what's going on, more about their situation, mm-hmm. things like that, the regime. So what is your take on that? What are your thoughts on the importance of doing that kind of information penetration?
Mm-hmm. I think it's tremendously important to try to get information to the North Korean people. There is plenty of trade going back and forth between China and North Korea. There is a vibrant market economy in North Korea now. The North Korean people are quite informed about what's going on in the world. And how they get that is through outside information. The state does not provide this information to them, obviously. So I think it's really important for us as the international community to provide that accurate information for the North Korean people. Some stories I've heard, one of them was that the most influential information that some North Koreans receive are weather reports, like simple things like that, where the state does not accurately have a weather report. It helps that the North Korean people rely on outside weather reports to plan for their agriculture, whatever the reason. Something as simple as that is important. I know that Mr. Chung Kwang-il, who was part of the group with President Trump, he sends rice and USBs into North Korea with various types of information. And I know there are lots of SD cards, USBs going in with American TV shows, Korean dramas, South Korean dramas, movies. They're quite popular. Another interesting thing I've heard is that novels are also big in North Korea. People want to read novels. It's fascinating. I mean, it's not like North Korean people are so different from you and me. They want their entertainment. and I think it's important to send that in from the outside. And I think that can have a huge impact. Something I would really like to see that I haven't quite seen yet is something like Mouse being sent in. Do you remember the comic Mouse? I had to read it in, I think it was in high school, I think. So it's a comic series that has been combined into a book. So it's very easily digested from the reader's point of view. And there are major underlying themes that are very important. So Mouse was about the Holocaust and how awful that was. But it was packaged in a very palatable way. I think we need something similar for the North Korean people so that they can reevaluate their lives. I mean, a lot of North Korean people watch dramas, South Korean dramas, American movies and TV shows, but they don't, that doesn't always translate into, oh, I need to reevaluate how my life is in North Korea. I think something along the lines of Mouse would be amazing.
So just to bring this back before we wrap up to the Trump administration, one thing that's come out in the news in the last few days is that Vice President Pence, who's going to the Olympics, is bringing Fred Warmbier, the father of Otto Warmbier, to the Olympics with him. So I'm wondering your thought on that news, but, you know, is this a sign of, you know, the next step in this strategy from the Trump administration to continue to shine light on the human rights situation? Or I guess what are your thoughts on that move?
I agree with you. I would say that it's in line with the current policies that we see. It's just another method. I think it's great to shine light on the Warmbier family and their tragedy. I don't have anything else to add to that. I think it's along the same policy lines. And I think it's great to shed more light on their tragedy and the issue. I mean, the issue is now really on the world stage after the State of the Union, but I don't think it should stop there. I think it should continue at the pace that it is, or even more quickly.
All right, so I think that's all the questions that I have for you, but before we go, is there anything else, any closing thoughts, anything you want to say before we wrap up?
I guess for my last words, I would like to say that this was a historic event. that should not be forgotten, and full credit should be given where it's due to the President and the First Lady for inviting Chi Sung-ho to the State of the Union. But we should also keep in mind that the focus is the North Korean people. The North Korean people are suffering wherever they may be, in Southeast Asia, in China, in North Korea. The North Korean people are suffering, and we should not forget them. The North Korean people should not be forgotten, and we should keep pushing for change, to keep pushing for improvements in their lives. And we should really, everyone should educate themselves on what's actually happening in North Korea. It's a tragic situation, and we should keep shining a light on the issue.
All right, Rosa, thank you so much for your time again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for joining me here on Korean Context. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And definitely drop us a comment, too, if you like what we're doing or if you have a suggestion for someone we should be talking to about Korea. Please do let us know. We're always happy to get that feedback. So thanks again for joining us here, and we will see you again next week.